Final hour of Ben and Woods, and then we've got our commercial-free Padres Roundtable presented by San Diego Roundtable Pizza. I believe a full house today. No reason it shouldn't be. Tony's back in town. Got back yesterday after the Padres road trip ended. Chris Ello, Annie and Elston, Woods and myself. Get an hour, get some pizza that we get to look at in the corner for the whole hour.
Love staring at it, man. I really do.
Can't eat it because there's no commercials. We didn't really think that through. Like, we got pizza in to feed us all, and then no chance to eat it because we're talking the entire time during the roundtable because it's commercial-free thanks to San Diego Roundtable Pizza.
Because you guys are on the air, right? You got to run right over there.
Yep. Set up.
Everybody else can grab some before the roundtable starts.
It's usually here 15 minutes before, but we're still on the air. And then we run over, set up in the soundstage. I usually get like one breadstick as I'm running over. Shove it in my face and then sit down for an hour and just wish I had more pizza the entire time. Now, we got Andy Ashby coming up later this hour at 9:35 in our final segment. We were talking about Tyler Glasnow earlier. Adam came in and was just going like, didn't he only sign for $125 million? That seems like a discount. I'm going, he's obviously great. He's pitching tomorrow for the Dodgers. When's he going to get hurt? Because that's all he was with the Tampa Bay Rays. You can't just automatically come to the Dodgers and
be healthy.
Your problems magically go away. Why does that happen for them? They just magically go away.
Nah, they've had their fair share of injuries.
They have.
No question, over the last couple of years. I said it before. Dave Roberts never did a better job managing than he did last year. Period. They had done their version of cutting payroll, and they had a ton of guys injured. Obviously, still won 100 games, but yeah, Glasnow's no joke, man, no joke. And it would be weird in a time when a bunch of other pitchers are getting injured, their elbows are. Tyler Glasnow actually makes it through the season. I have a $20 bet. I'm not rooting for his injury, but I said, man, he's a great signing. He's good for, 7,500 innings. Because he's just been that guy. Now, he's one of those guys, Ben, that you would put in the top 25 of all time if he had never gotten injured. Like, he's that good. Pryor and Wood and guys like that. I mean, it just, the injuries have just kind of derailed his career, but still really, really good
Adam's
player.
Point was, it's the least talked about major acquisition,
right?
Because he was overshadowed by Otani.
Oh, Otani and Soto to an extent. I mean, there's all these different huge players.
We were all
players.
Talking about how the market was horrible and like all the free agents were just sitting, but yeah, you did kind of forget almost about Tyler Glasnow.
Yeah, he's something else, man. I mean, one of those guys, you're like, I hate you that you're on that team now, but man, I really loved you before.
Speaking of pitchers in the Dodgers, they beat Ryan Weathers. Mentioned that earlier yesterday.
Weathers pitched good.
He had a really good spring. Yeah, he's 2-4 with a 4.54, which sounds pitching for the Marlins. That's actually not terrible. He hasn't had a bad season. He's been actually one of the more brighter spots on a pretty bad team, but
a battered rotation.
In terms of the ones that not necessarily got away, but the guy who's off to the best start of the former Padres pitchers is Chris Paddock, who improved to 4-1 yesterday,
really?
With a win.
Well,
again,
what about Lugo?
He's
Lugo's
great. That's
amazing.
True. But
Walker's fallen back to earth a little bit.
But Lugo's been really good. Yeah, yep. He's been the best. That's for sure. But Paddock's been very solid so far since coming off his second surgery and coming back this year for the Minnesota Twins, and he had another win yesterday. He's now 4-1 on the season. Always like to keep tabs on the old guys. 4.34 ERA. I mean, I'm not a world beater.
Well, what did Eno just say? Average is about 4.5 or 4.4.
Yeah, right now.
So not too bad.
Average ERAs out there. All right. Why don't we get some headlines here? It's time for the Thursday edition of the Randall Report.
And get things started here with our today's edition of the Randall Report.
Now tuned into the motherfucking greatest.
Welcome to the Rindle Report with Paul Rindle.
Hi, Paul.
All right.
Two stories from the world of sports that we haven't gotten to yet.
We'll start off in Major League Baseball.
And one story that you didn't know you needed.
Are you laughing, biatch?
It's the Rindle Report.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
On 97.3, The Fan.
Are you ready to bless the mood? I need some help, please.
That was good.
Can I get a yeah?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
the Rindle Report, brought to you by the Frozen Ropes Summer Baseball League. The Frozen Ropes is now registering ballplayers age 6 through 12. Go to sandiegofrozenropes.com for more information. Gentlemen, kind of a slow night in sports yesterday. Looking for some stories. I was going to talk about Paul Skeens. We mentioned him earlier in the show if you missed it. We'll start in the NBA. Just one game last night in the NBA playoffs. The Pacers and the Knicks. Indiana looking to even the series. But unfortunately, they lost to the Knicks. Kind of an interesting game. Jalen Brunson has been on a Jordan-esque tear in the playoffs, averaging 40 a game over his last five or six games, and he has just been the engine for the New York Knicks. But he got hurt pretty early in the game, something weird. It was like with his foot, kind of just twisted it weird, and he missed most, if not all, of the second quarter. And then he did come back, and he still scored 29 points on the night. So the Pacers, the series shifts back to Indiana. Indiana with the Pacers in an 0-2 deficit. And I was reading a story this morning that the Indiana Pacers submitted 78 instances of incorrect or non-calls to the NBA, to the league, that they thought put them at a disadvantage. 78. Now, this was over games one and
two. Angel Hernandez reffing these games?
Good,
my goodness gracious.
Ray Charles, I think. Good Lord, man.
It says here on ESPN, Pacers coach Rick Carlisle, speaking after Indiana fell behind 2-0, said the team had identified 29 questionable refereeing decisions from game one, and then another 49 from game two that they felt were incorrectly called or not called at all. And they submitted them overnight to the NBA League's office.
Do big market teams like the Lakers and Knicks seem to get more calls in the NBA? Yes, they seem to. I can't even deny that, even as a Lakers fan. They seem to. Did you guys see what TNT did last night for the game?
No.
They had Reggie Miller come out. Even though he was not on that series,
yes.
They specifically flew him out. Let's just throw Reggie back into Madison Square Garden in front of all the Knicks fans. Just to stir the pot, I think. Like, what's going to happen?
That's wrestling, man. That's a good idea.
I saw so many videos. There were a lot of foul language chants from the Knicks fans.
Dude, the Garden's been rocking this postseason.
Like, Ben Stiller came by and gave him the finger as he was walking.
Yeah, so good.
They just put Reggie basically there just so he could get
just be a foil.
Absolutely abused by Knicks fans for the whole game, because he's still kind of enemy number one of that organization.
Yeah, Gaylord Faulkner walks by and drops a middle finger at you. You're like, really? Okay.
Yeah, the Knicks won by 9, 130 to 121. Man. So everybody was feeling good. There was a clip going around, you may have seen it, of the crowd is chanting, F you to Reggie Miller, who's sitting there doing the game, and they're like, oh, what are they saying? And Josh Hart, who's in the middle of the game, they're shooting a free throw, he walks right over to the broadcast booth and kind of grabs the microphone off the headset, and he goes, I don't know if you can hear it, they're saying, and he actually said it over
he
the
said
air.
He said it over the air, it was F you.
That's Reggie Miller.
A lot of folks on the Knicks bandwagon saying,
Knicks are pretty fun. They got that Villanova connection. DiVincenzo's hitting big threes all over the place. Hart's a really good player, too. 19-15-7. They got Ananobi. It's actually a pretty fun team. I don't think they've got a chance against Boston, but I want to see that series at least.
Boston-New York is going to be a good Eastern Conference Finals if it plays out that way. Another news from the NBA, Jokic was named the MVP yesterday for the third straight time.
You know, and he could care less.
Yeah.
Yeah, he really.
He could care
I love him
less
so much.
That he's the MVP. The best basketball player in the world would rather be home with his horses.
Now, it was weird.
And he will be in two more games, it looks like.
It was a little weird. So, yesterday on the TNT broadcast, back at the studio with Shaq and Ernie and Chuck and all those guys, they had Jokic on Zoom from the Denver facility or whatever, and wanted to congratulate him and announce that he was the MVP. There was kind of an interesting moment. Shaq, former MVP, big man, he loves Nikola Jokic, but he was being honest. I guess that's all you want. Sure. Just be honest. But listen to this exchange, and it kind of felt like a bit of a D move to me.
Joker, as the president of the Big Man Alliance, you are the vice president of the Big Man Alliance. You know I love you, the best player in the league. I want to congratulate you, but I want you to hear from me first. I thought the SGA should have been the MVP. That's no disrespect to you, but congratulations. And what do you guys have to do to get back on track versus Minnesota?
Thank you, Frank. We don't judge people here, no, so that's fine. It's your opinion. I'm joking.
Hey, all good. I love you. I love your brothers. One thing we always going to do is keep it real with each other.
Unnecessary honesty from Shaq.
Oh, yeah, there's no need for that.
He thought Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, who finished second in the voting, got his vote. That's fair. There was 20 or 30 people who voted SGA over Jokic. Jokic pretty clearly got the award again. Third time in 4 years. Puts him in very elite company.
Oh, yeah.
Three-time NBA MVPs. That would be Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, and Moses Malone. Four-time MVPs, one away from Will Chamberlain, LeBron James. Five-time, Michael Jordan, Bill Russell, and the only six-time, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. So he is now top six all-time in MVP awards.
Down 0-2, is that right?
Down 0-2 and going to Minnesota for game three.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, you look at the votes for the MVP award, the days of LeBron. I mean, LeBron's still playing at a high level, but LeBron, Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, that wave has kind of passed. And
the back nine.
It's an international game now.
I mean, of course.
Nikola Jokic, first place MVP voting. Shea Gilgeous-Alexander from Canada. Luka Doncic. And then Giannis Antetokounmpo was fourth. So it's very fun. It's a world game now. And playoffs.
And Anthony Edwards, who's from outer space, I think. Man, he is just ridiculously good.
So tonight, ESPN doubleheader, Cleveland and Boston at 4 o'clock in Western Conference, Dallas and OKC. Oklahoma City has the 1-0 series lead in that one. And then finally, I wanted to just pass this over to Woodsy for a few minutes. We got a little shout-out to his family in the world of music yesterday.
Big one, man.
And I really hope we can see more unity and more peace when already things are so difficult. So, shout out to his family.
Oh, what a tremendous loss in music yesterday. It happened in the middle of our show. It actually took me aback. I didn't really process it until after the show and went home. And last night after the Padres game, I spent 4 hours on my phone going back and listening to the recordings of the great Steve Albini, who passed away yesterday at the age of 61. Unexpected.
All right, you're going to have to explain to at least me, and I'm certainly part of our audience. I didn't even know. I had never heard of that person until he passed away, and I started seeing it on my timeline. So give me a little bit of background.
So he's probably best known for producing and engineering the Nirvana record In Utero and the Pixies' seminal alternative record Surfer Rosa. But there's 5,000 other bands that he produced. He was been a workman-like, full of ethics type person. And the thing, I admired him and admire him and always will very, very much. He had this attitude that, like he told Nirvana was coming off of Nevermind, this huge world-changing record. They wanted to go in. They didn't like how it was mixed, how it sounded. They thought it was too slick. It doesn't sound like us. Doesn't feel like us. So he wrote them this long letter. And he said, you need to be true to yourselves. Don't worry about what the record company thinks. You have the power now. Go in and make the record you want. I would love to help. Call me if you need my help. By the way, I won't be taking points on your record because that is absolutely
absurd.
That'll
be like a percentage of sales. Okay.
And I'm not taking points on this. I think it's, he goes, I'm a plumber. Pay me like a plumber. I'm there to do a job, and I'm there to make the best record I can. Wow. He had this do-it-yourself attitude.
So pay him like $300, and they don't even know what the problem is.
I think they paid him $100,000 for that record, this huge record In Utero.
Sorry, that was a shot at plumbers. My apologies to the plumbers out there.
Right. So he passed away yesterday, 61, and the tributes just came. Like, the one that surprised me was Mina Kimes. Mina Kimes is the world's biggest Steve Albini fan. So he did records from everyone. But of course, again, the two big ones, the Pixies and Nirvana. But I mean, go down the list. PJ Harvey, Urge Overkill, all these huge, huge alternative bands. He was a Chicago based guy. The other thing I loved about him, he's truly a person that changed. He was, sharp-tongued. He was acerbic. He was a D. Like, he was, he said things that were for shock value years ago and then realized his position and truly changed into a much better human being, giving a lot of people hope that it's actually possible to do so. Like, he, and when he said it, he truly meant it. Like, you could feel and watch this person change from just kind of a acidic jerk to someone that was still very sharp tongued. Now, the other reason that I'm going to miss Steve Albini terribly is because there's one less Steely Dan hater in the world. And I, of course, am number two. I guess with his passing, I'm probably now number one, which is a big day.
It's a big mantle to take on.
He absolutely loathed Steely Dan. He loathed them. He said, the amount of human effort wasted to sound like an SNL band warm-up, look at yourselves, calling them the Dan. Go trim your beard. He said, it's music made for the sole purpose of letting the wedding band stretch out. He was so cutting and brilliant. And
it sounds like you're basically talking about like a great coach in a way, like a sports reference. Like,
he was just
get the best out of other people.
Get the best out of other
job.
People and was open to, he had his email, his phone number on his website. Like, you could, if you were doing a record, you could have called Steve Albini and the chances are he probably would have produced your record. It's a huge loss. He wrote a piece in 1993, The Problem with the Music Industry, and it still rings true today. And you see how much musicians are taking advantage of. As far as like me personally, I've taken so much that I've learned from him and tried to apply it to what we do and how we do it. We get our own t-shirts. We get our own stickers. You know, we do all of that on our own. That's from him. That was texting with a local music genius in our town yesterday. And we had a long text thread about it last night. And it's a tremendous loss, and a true hero of mine. And I was really bummed to see that. Some of the most beautiful, brilliant records ever. And he 61 years old. I did see that he actually passed away while recording a band, which is, you know, probably how he wanted to go out, just far, far too soon.
That's so very interesting. I had no idea that legend. He was such an influence even on you.
Dude,
and our show, the show that I am actually doing,
massive,
has apparently been influenced this entire time
by Steve Albini,
100%. Who I didn't even know of until he passed away yesterday.
He had that thing of like, he tried to do it the right way and the moral way and the with ethics and things like that. And so he was as nasty as could be sometimes. And it's just a really, really big loss. And music is way worse for it.
We agree on a lot of things, but you know me. I like my Steely Dan.
I know you do. And, oh, one of the best pranks of all time. He was also not a big Grateful Dead fan. So this is a prank that was played on him. Jerry Garcia died. Two local Chicago DJs print up a flyer, and they said, we know you're hurting right now. Please call this number with any thoughts or feelings you might have about Jerry Garcia being dead.
Oh, my God.
They put Steve Albini's number on the flyers and hung them up. He was a notorious prank caller himself. He once called. So Kiss was doing, they were doing a tribute band for the band Kiss, and they had some different, Garth Brooks was on it. This punk rock band, the Melvins, was on it. Gene Simmons wanted Kurt Cobain and Nirvana, the biggest band in the world. They wanted them on it. Gene Simmons called the studio. Steve Albini pretended to be Kurt Cobain. And Kurt's like, I don't want to talk to Gene Simmons. So Steve Albini pranked him like the whole time and was like, I don't know, man. Like, maybe we'll do it. Maybe we won't. But he was kind of a prankster, an icon, certainly, and a legend, and definitely, definitely gone too soon.
Thank you for sharing, Woods. And thank you for the Rindle Report, Pauly. I got Andy Ashby coming up in just a few minutes, so we'll tell you why the former Padre will be on board in our final segment coming up next after traffic here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Did I hear the old Jay Harp?
You did.
You sure did.
You sure did.
During that break, I think I did. I see the phone lines blinking. We already have a winner, Pauly.
Yes, Lisa called in, and she is going to the Padres game tomorrow night.
All right, if you did not win, we appreciate you listening all morning long for that opportunity. The good news is Annie and Elston will have Padres-Dodgers tickets to give away for Saturday's game during their program after the roundtable, and Gwen and Chris will have Sunday Padres-Dodgers tickets to give away during their program from 2 to 6. Don't know if Scravey has any tickets of his own to give away from 6 to 7, but this is one of those rare days during the baseball season that you get the full gamut on the station today. 4 hours of Ben and Woods, a roundtable, Annie and Elston, Gwen and Chris, Scravey Show. Everybody accounted for the entire day with no game. Only Sammy Leavitt gets the day off today.
And yeah.
He deserves it because he gets deserved. The fewest days off over the course of the baseball season.
Second fewest, but that's fine.
Who works the most?
We do. No question.
Oh, no. Sammy works more than we do.
No.
What about Saturdays and Sundays?
What about four-hour shows 5 days a week plus
he
a roundtable?
He does an hour before and after, but he's also covering the entire game during the 3 or 4 hours.
So are we.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you count that, but.
Well, yes, I count. What do you. You don't?
I don't count watching a Padres game as work.
I don't count it as work, but it is work. You're telling my wife right now. Oh, you like baseball, though. It doesn't matter. I still have to watch the game.
My favorite part of the day.
Of course.
When the Padres game comes on.
It's still
work. I'm sad when they don't play. I know
me and you both.
They need days off. Sammy needs days off. I get it.
Yeah.
But I'm bummed when it's not a game day during baseball season.
What do we do tonight? You know, watching this is a very small slate of Major League Baseball games tonight. I'm even trying to find out which one I may watch.
The two least compelling Tier 1 basketball game tonight.
The two least compelling NBA series continue tonight. It is I mean there are a few baseball games but nothing terrific here. I mean,
everybody stop calling. We told you that we already gave the ticket.
Yeah.
That's why we played the sounder.
The only game tonight in baseball is Royals Angels. Thank you. No thank you.
That's it.
Yeah, everything else is day cuz it's a getaway day basically.
Royals Angels.
Cardinals Brewers is at 4:40. That's the second latest game of the day.
We got date night with the wife tonight.
That's a good night. It's a good night for
good
it.
Good night
for
sure. It, man. Perfect night for it. Is there hockey? There's going to be hockey on. I'll maybe watch some hockey, NHL Woods.
There were some good. Oh, did you see Vancouver's come back last night? Ooh,
so
that was
we
a good
didn't
one.
Talk about the Edmonton Opera thing. Did you see the jinx that they did? Did you? You didn't
I
did either.
No idea. Do they have their right. own? That's what's in, guys, from Edmonton.
Pretty much. All right, we
have that's one, what's in.
We have one more segment, right?
Yeah, we got Andy Ashby coming up next.
Andy Ashby, damn it! All right, now we need to find it. We got to play it, the whole thing.
All right, well, we have time for both.
You can do it tomorrow. I mean, we have nothing to talk about.
That's a good point. There's no
literally
game today.
Nothing. All right, so tomorrow.
Long tease.
Tune in for that.
Long tease of the Edmonton That's What's In.
They did it.
People, apparently.
Like opera. Like opera. Opera version. And they did, like, the players, he will do this, and Connor McDavid is ready.
Oh, God.
Yeah, or whatever his name is.
And they blew a 4-1 lead in the third period,
bro,
just like that. I
bro,
mean,
I'm
I had
telling
it on,
you.
And I just keep hearing screaming from the television, they score! They score! They score! It's 5-4 Vancouver. How did that happen?
Imagine that's what's in, but in opera fashion.
Okay, that's a good tease for tomorrow.
I am that's what's in.
That's what's in.
So Andy Ashby's doing something for the Padres Foundation, you mentioned.
Yes.
That's why he's coming on. All right.
He's also calling to shoot the S, you know. That's
who
how
doesn't
do
want
it.
To talk with Andy Ashby?
Why
he's
not?
He's the greatest.
Andy Ashby, Padres legendary pitcher, is going to join us for our final segment before the roundtable. We'll get to that coming up next with Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Got a bunch of Odyssey employees wandering by, salespeople coming in, and I realized why they're hanging around.
Vultures.
Oh, the pizza's
the
coming.
The pizza's coming momentarily
it's
for the
so...
roundtable. Roundtable. Of course they're all here. Monday, Friday. Now we don't
hey,
see
how
hide
you guys
hair,
doing? But... Right. Yeah. How you guys doing? We're great, man. Grab a slice and beat
Thursday
it.
At 10 a.m.
Just wanted to say hi.
Hey,
how
you doing? Did.
Everybody's at work.
Get
Thursday at 10 a.m.
Incredible. So transparent.
Well, their gain is also your gain. Everyone seems to really enjoy the roundtable. We will get to that coming up in just over 20 minutes from now with the entire crew standing by, though. A little special treat for you on a Thursday. We got Andy Ashby coming up right after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. So we talked about it earlier. Pauly Reindl shared something about Andy Ashby that I had never known. And we welcome the former Padres pitcher on with us this morning here on 97.3 The Fan. Haven't seen him since the Peter Seidler Memorial. And then we saw him at, obviously, Fantasy Camp before that. Ash, good morning to you.
Good morning. Thank you guys for having me. How you guys doing?
Good, buddy. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Good.
Couldn't be better.
Good, man. Well, yeah, you found yesterday. Yeah, I didn't know
you
this. Know,
when I was growing up, I mean, obviously, I love baseball stats and, you know, quirky things, no hitters, perfect games. I don't remember hearing a lot about immaculate innings growing up. Like, I don't know if it was a thing or not. But lately, you know, anytime a pitcher gets close on social media, people start talking about it. And Paulie said, did you know that Andy Ashby is one of just a handful of pitchers in baseball history who threw an immaculate inning? 9 pitches, 9 strikes, 3 strikeouts. And I was looking back, and it's like, I think this might have been like his second ever start in the big leagues for the Phillies. What do you remember from your immaculate inning, Dash?
And did you know that you did it?
No, I did not know what was going on at the time. You know what? I'd given up a couple runs early. That was like my second start of my big league career.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, you know, I just struck out some guys, and then I get in the dugout, and Del Murphy comes up to me. He's like, hey, kid, you just set a major league record. I said, what'd I do? So he's like, no, you struck out the side on 9 pitches. I was like, is that good?
Can't do any better than that.
Isn't that what I'm supposed to do, or no?
Yeah. This game's easy.
That's amazing.
Yeah, yeah. I went out like 2 innings later and gave up a home run to Jose Rio. I didn't know he could really hit that good. So.
It's one of those things, like you ask any pitcher, would you rather do that or would you rather throw 3 sinkers and get 3 ground balls? You take the 3 sinkers and 3 ground balls any day of the week, right, Ash?
Oh, no doubt. Love that. Love that 1, 2, 3 pitch inning, ground ball, double play, get out. Yeah, I'll take that all day.
But the 100%. Immaculate innings, it's more rare than a no-hitter. It's closer to like a perfect game in terms of how rare it is in Major League Baseball to actually get the 9 strikes.
That amazes me.
Yeah.
It's just crazy. But you know what? There's a lot of guys out there right now that throw 100 miles an hour that we're probably going to see it more than what we have lately.
Yeah, no question. Have you been watching much ball this year? I know you're a busy man. Have you been watching much baseball?
You know what? I watched a little bit of it. I don't know if it's Rancho Santa Fe where I live. I can't get the Padre game. They're all blocked out. So when I can watch it, I watch it. My son-in-law pitches today, Cal Quantrill. So I'll be trying to watch that game he throws against the Giants. So when I can see it and watch it, I'll watch it.
Are they home or are they in San Francisco?
They're in Colorado.
Oh, boy. Yeah. How's he liking pitching there? I'm sure you've talked to him about it.
You know what? He likes it. I just think, you know, starting out, it's a totally different deal. And I told him, I said, hey, just you have to pitch. You have to throw your stuff. You can't let the park dictate on how you approach hitters and everything.
Yeah.
I said, because I did that when I first got traded there, and that's not the way to approach it. The way to approach it is stay aggressive. When you get in trouble, just walk guys, because the outfield just seems like it's so big. Then you walk a couple guys, give up base hit in the gap, you're down 3-0.
Yep.
And then, you know, the ball keeps rolling. But he likes it. I think it's a little different, of course, than, you know, San Diego or Cleveland, but he'll get through it. He's throwing the ball well.
When you pitched for the Rockies, was that back in like Mile High Stadium before they even opened Coors Field?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's when it wasn't the Green Monster. It was the Clear Monster, because it was like 260 feet away from left field. I was like, are you really going to play Major League Baseball?
It feels like nowadays everyone just, the pitchers are like, it gets in their head. It's the altitude. It was kind of new. They had AAA baseball, but they had not really had Major League Baseball there, and everyone was curious. Do you think it's mental? Is it actual, you know, the altitude? Is that was that more of a real thing, or is it more in pitchers' heads that they're pitching up there and they just expect bad things to happen?
Well, I think if you go in there expecting bad things to happen, it's going to happen. I think the main thing is just the balls are slick. I mean, you know, the altitude does affect a little bit of it. I mean, the balls are so slick, your hand's slick. But 95% of it is mentally thinking about, oh, no, I'm in Mile High Stadium, which I was there. I was guilty of it. So all I know is the first year when I got there in 1993, we had a workout. There were 35,000 people in the stands for a workout. So they love their baseball. And then the first game we had, there were 75,000 people in Mile High Stadium. So it was good.
That's unreal. Talking to our pal Andy Ashby here on Ben and Woods this morning. Today is Tony Gwynn's heavenly birthday, and I wanted to, you're like the world's greatest storyteller, one of my favorites of all time. What is your favorite Tony Gwynn story that you got off the top of your head?
Oh, my gosh. We go fishing. Me, Hutch, the trainer, Todd Hutchison, Tony, and myself. We would always go fishing when he had like a day off, which never happened, but he would get a wild hair and say, "Hey, Ash, let's go fishing in the morning." I'm like, "All right, Tony, I'll go." So we go to Houston. I think we had a day off that day, actually. So it's like 90 degrees when we get there at 5:15 in the morning. And we're fishing. Tony loved to fish. So Hutch is in front. Tony's in the middle. I'm in the back of the boat. So about 11:30 rolls around. Well, Tony's down on the bottom of the boat sweating like he just ran about 19 miles. I said, "Hutch, I said, we need to go." I said, "Tony's sweating like crazy." He's like, "No, the fish are biting. We're not leaving." I said, "Tony's sweating. He might have a stroke or something.
We need him badly."
He's like, "No, he'll be fine, Ash. He's fine. We'll stay a couple hours." I said, "A couple hours would be 120 degrees by noon." So, then how Tony, when he smiles, he walks in, "Man, it's hot." I said, "No kidding, you're in an aluminum boat, you're in Houston, Texas, and it's 150 degrees out here." So that's one of my great stories. Tony and I play golf together, and he is so sadly missed. I miss him. When I see Anthony, it just brings back so many memories because he sounds just like his dad.
What kind of golfer was Tony?
He wasn't bad.
Yeah.
He wasn't bad.
Good hand
great
eye.
Swing.
Good hand eye.
Yeah, great swing. Shocker.
But you know what? He would be, Tony didn't cuss a lot. He would just be like, "Son of a gun." We'd go play Mount Whitman all the time. He probably picked the hardest course to play, right, but he loved playing it.
Did he play lefty or righty? Because I know a lot of lefties still play righty. He did play lefty.
Okay. Yeah.
He's just pounding it down the left side of the field. You're like, "Bro,
that slice works really well in the 5.5 volt. Yeah. Not as great at Mount Woodson. You're gonna lose a bucket of balls out there."
Oh my god!
That course is so hard, but it's so beautiful. But yeah, they loved him coming out there. We'd go play there quite a bit. We'd go fishing at Steel Canyon after the games. Tony loved doing all that stuff, And he was such a great man, and he's still. So many memories and stuff through San Diego, and I know the San Diego people here miss him like I do and his teammates, but such a special guy. The family's awesome, so he's missed.
I love that story. Ash, tell everybody what you're up to tonight, raising money for the Padres Foundation, and I have a question for you. You will be guest bartending tonight, yes?
Well, that is correct, believe it or not. So my girlfriend, Mercedes, works for Berkshire and Hathaway. She's a real estate agent.
That's the Warren Buffett.
So last month, she's like, "Hey, why don't we do a fundraiser? We'll talk to Dolce, and you be the celebrity bartender, and we can raise money for the Padre Foundation." I said, "Celebrity bartender? I've never, well, I have bartended a couple times, but, that not like a Dolce."
Right.
So I was like, "Okay, let's do it. Let's get it in the thing. Get it on the books and talk to Dolce and see where it goes. And let's see if we can't get this done for, all the proceeds go to the Padre Foundation." So here we are. So tonight I will be bartending at Dolce from 6 to 10. We have seven or eight different silent auction items. So grab your friends, grab your family, and come out and enjoy an evening for a few hours. I told Mercedes, I said, "You're putting me to work for 4 hours? I don't think I've worked 4 hours in my life ever."
I got a question for you. So if I walk in, if I walk into Dolce tonight and I saunter up to the bar, I know him, Andy Ashby, and I say, "Dealer's choice, what are you giving me?"
Ooh. Glass of water.
I was going to test it. I mean, bartenders need to know drinks. If someone asks for a great greyhound, what do you make?
Yeah, what's a greyhound?
What's a greyhound?
That's a dog. Chase the rabbit around.
That's right. Vodka and grapefruit.
That's correct, Woods. You're very good.
Do you understand? I had to go to like a trial course last week.
No,
to
you did
learn
not.
These drinks that they want to. And I said, I have no idea what we're doing. And Haley, down at the bar, there's two other bartenders who are going to be there. I said, listen, you guys, I can pour a beer, and that's about it. So,
Jack and Coke, yeah, pretty easy.
I'll have a Manhattan. Here's a Coors Light.
You know what? I can do a Manhattan. That was pretty easy.
So don't ask Andy Ashby for a Ramos Gin Fizz, apparently. He's not going to be able to make it for you.
That's
no,
like
that might turn into like a Stone IPA or something.
Yeah, yeah. Coors Light. Good Lord. This
exactly.
This is going to be amazing,
I'll have a
man.
Singapore Sling, Andy. Can you make that for me?
That's unreal.
What's it to Tom Collins?
Well,
Tom Collins.
I could throw some stuff in there and call it that if you want.
Tom Collins is gin,
yep.
Sour mix,
yep.
Sweet and sour.
Yeah, lemon juice or sour mix. A little sugar, a little carbonated water.
That's
yep.
it. Yeah, a little Tom splash. Collins. I was going to say a little splash of soda.
Yep, very good.
Beautiful.
Okay, I'm thinking I'm going to get ready. I'm going to go down there after this and start learning a little more drinks. I have never heard of the drinks you guys are throwing out.
You better get your ass to work tonight, Ash. That's one thing. Man.
You know what? We're excited. You know, Tom and Peter Seidler, they do so much for the community.
The best.
They have a good foundation. So I want to say thanks to Carly and Tom and them and Miss Peter, but for us to be able to do this, give something back to the Padres Foundation is it's special. I just hope you have a good turnout. I think there might be some 98 guys that show up and rag me for a little while.
Oh,
so
yeah.
We'll see.
Listen, just one tip about working behind the bar. Don't get high on your own supply back there. Just be just be judicious about how many, you know, you can't pour two drinks and then have one.
One for me, one for you.
Yeah,
one
the ratio needs to.
I told him, I said, you guys might lose money on this.
With Ashby behind the bar, they may lose money. I've seen him. You are the best, my friend. Thank you so much, Ash.
Round of White Russians for everybody, Andy. Thank you so much.
You got it. Well, listen, I'd love to see you guys. And listen, thank you all so much for putting me on.
Anytime.
And supporting this. And you know what, San Diego, grab your friends. And I love you all. You guys know that you're special in my heart. Come on down and get a drink at Dolce and let's see where it goes.
Thanks, Ash.
Andy Ashby, who threw an immaculate inning and had no idea that he did it or what it even was when he did it in 1991. Former Padres pitcher joining us.
I love these guys
the best.
So much.
Tony Gwynn lying on in the bottom of an aluminum boat, sweating, dying. Like, hey, man, he's one we need to make sure he's okay. Like, we need him for the long haul. Let's get him.
Fishing sounds pretty relaxing and harmless for an off-day activity,
but not in
Houston in the summer, for sure.
I love the trainer being like, nah, he's
Hutch,
fine.
Yeah.
He's going to be fine. He's good. He's good. The aluminum boat murdered me. I mean, and you see how quick I go. Tell your favorite Tony Gwynn. Oh, yeah, we
Bam.
Went. I mean, boom. He is ash as a
I can't
wealth.
Believe I used to be terrified of that guy. When I was
it's amazing to me.
Him.
It's amazing to me. Because he's such a down home. I just love him. I love that guy so much. And it's been such a pleasure getting to know him over the last few years. And hanging with him at camp is the greatest. Worth every penny to
kangaroo
just hang
court,
out with him.
Judge.
He's the kangaroo court judge.
I mean,
he wears the robes.
He loves to walk in with a little vodka cranberry in the morning.
Yeah.
He goes in the trainer's room. He's like, look at all you.
It's called a Cape Cod,
MFers.
Cape Cod. No one calls it a Cape. They just call it a vodka cran. I didn't even know that one. Cape Cod is a vodka cran. Okay.
There you go.
Good to know. All right. That does it for our four hours, but don't forget, Roundtable's coming up next. Another bonus commercial-free hour of Padres Talk with the whole crew is just a few minutes away. We will be back for more Ben and Woods tomorrow morning at 6 a.m., and it is a Friar Friday. It's a Dodger Friar Friday. We got Mike Schilt, who will join us for the Manager's Report at 9 a.m. Looking forward to chatting with Mike Schilt coming off that successful 4-2 road trip. So lots of topics to discuss. Anything else we have planned for tomorrow? Paulie, that we know about.
No.
Jordan
Schuster
Family Barbecue. We'll have that for you as well. And I mean, should be a loose show.
Woodsy's
tomorrow.
Orchestra story.
Oh, that's right. Yep. The opera in Edmonton. We'll get to it all, but the roundtable's coming up next. For Paulie and Woods, I'm Ben. Talk to you in just a moment here on 97.3 The Fan. Got a bunch of Odyssey employees wandering by, salespeople coming in, and I realized why they're hanging around.
Vultures.
Oh, the pizza's
coming. Pizza's coming momentarily for the roundtable. Of course they're all here. Monday, Friday. No, we don't
see
how
you guys doing. Right? Yeah. How you guys doing? We're great, man. Grab a slice and
Thursday at 10 a.m.
Just wanted to say hi. Hey,
how you doing?
Everybody's at work. Thursday at 10 a.m.
Incredible. So transparent.
Well, their gain is also your gain. We got a. Everyone seems to really enjoy the roundtable. We will get to that coming up in just over 20 minutes from now with the entire crew standing by. Though. A little special treat for you on a Thursday. We got Andy Ashby coming up right after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. So we talked about it earlier. Pauly Reindl shared something about Andy Ashby that I had never known. And we welcome the former Padres pitcher on with us this morning here on 97.3 The Fan. Haven't seen him since the Peter Seidler Memorial. And then we saw him at, obviously, Fantasy Camp before that. Ash, good morning to you.
Good morning. Thank you guys for having me. How you guys doing?
Good, buddy. How are you?
I'm doing great, thank you.
Good.
Couldn't be better.
Good, man. Well, yeah, you found yesterday. Yeah, I didn't know this.
When I was growing up, I mean, obviously, I love baseball stats and, you know, look, quirky things, no hitters, perfect games. I don't remember hearing a lot about immaculate innings growing up. Like, I don't know if it was a thing or not, but lately, you know, anytime a pitcher gets close on social media, people start talking about it. And Pauly said, did you know that Andy Ashby is one of just a handful of pitchers in baseball history who threw an immaculate inning, 9 pitches, 9 strikes, 3 strikeouts. And I was looking back, and it's like, I think this might have been like his second ever start in the big leagues for the Phillies. What do you remember from your immaculate inning,
Dash? And did you know that you did it?
No, I did not know what was going on at the time. You know what? I'd given up a couple runs early. That was like my second start of my big league career.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, you know, I just struck out some guys, and then I get in the dugout, and Del Murphy comes up to me. He's like, hey, kid, you just set a major league record. I said, what'd I do? So he's like, no, you struck out the side on 9 pitches. I was like, is that good?
Can't do any better than that.
Isn't that what I'm supposed to do, or no?
Yeah. Well, this game's easy.
That's amazing.
Yeah, yeah. I went out like 2 innings later and gave up a home run to Jose Rio. I didn't know he could really hit that good. So.
It's one of those things, like you ask any pitcher, would you rather do that or would you rather throw 3 sinkers and get 3 ground balls? You take the 3 sinkers and 3 ground balls any day of the week, right, Ash?
Oh, no doubt. Love that. Love that 1, 2, 3 pitch inning, ground ball, double play, get out. Yeah, I'll take that all day.
But the 100% immaculate innings, it's more rare than a no-hitter. It's closer to like a perfect game in terms of how rare it is in Major League Baseball to actually get the 9 strikes.
That amazes me.
Yeah.
It's just crazy. But you know what? There's a lot of guys out there right now that throw 100 miles an hour that we're probably going to see it more than what we have lately.
Yeah, no question. Have you been watching much ball this year? I know you're a busy man. Have you been watching much baseball?
You know what? I've watched a little bit of it. I don't know if it's Rancho Santa Fe where I live. I can't get the Padre game. They're all blocked out. So when I can watch it, I watch it. My son-in-law pitches today, Cal Quantrill. So I'll be trying to watch that game he throws against the Giants. So when I can see it and watch it, I'll watch it.
Are they home or are they in San Francisco?
They're in Colorado.
Oh, boy. Yeah. How's he liking pitching there? I'm sure you've talked to him about it.
You know what? He likes it. I just think, you know, starting out, it's a totally different deal. And I told him, I said, hey, just you have to pitch. You have to throw your stuff. You can't let the park dictate on how you approach hitters and everything.
Yeah.
I said, because I did that when I first got traded there, and that's not the way to approach it. The way to approach it is stay aggressive. When you get in trouble, just walk guys because the outfield just seems like it's so big. Then you walk a couple guys, you give up base hit in the gap, you're down 3-0.
Yep.
And then, you know, the ball keeps rolling. But he likes it. I think it's a little different, of course, than, you know, San Diego or Cleveland. But he'll get through it. He's throwing the ball well.
When you pitched for the Rockies, was that back in like Mile High Stadium before they even opened Coors Field?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's when it wasn't the green monster. It was the clear monster because it was like 260 feet away from left field. I was like, are you really going to play Major League Baseball?
It feels like nowadays everyone just, the pitchers are like, it gets in their head. It's the altitude. It was kind of new. They had AAA baseball, but they had not really had Major League Baseball there, and everyone was curious. Do you think it's mental? Is it actual? you know, the altitude, is that was that more of a real thing, or is it more in pitchers' heads that they're pitching up there and they just expect bad things to happen?
Well, I think if you go in there expecting bad things to happen, it's going to happen. I think the main thing is just the balls are slick. I mean, you know, the altitude does affect a little bit of it. I mean, the balls are so slick, your hand's slick. But 95% of it is mentally thinking about, oh, no, I'm in Mile High Stadium, which I was there. I was guilty of it. So all I know is the first year when I got there in 1993, we had a workout. There were 35,000 people in the stands for a workout. So they love their baseball. And then the first game we had, there were 75,000 people in Mile High the Mile High Stadium. So it was good.
That's unreal. Talking to our pal Andy Ashby here on Ben and Woods this morning. Today is Tony Gwynn's heavenly birthday, and I wanted to, you're like the world's greatest storyteller, one of my favorites of all time. What is your favorite Tony Gwynn story that you got off the top of your head?
Oh my gosh, we go fishing. Me, Hutch, the trainer, Todd Hutchison, Tony, and myself. We would always go fishing when he had like a day off, which never happened. But he would get a wild hair and say, hey, Ash, let's go fishing in the morning. I'm like, all right, Tony, I'll go. So we go to Houston. I think we had a day off that day, actually. So it's like 90 degrees when we get there at 5:15 in the morning.
Oh.
And we're fishing. Tony loved to fish. So Hutch is in front. Tony's in the middle. I'm in the back of the boat. So about 11:30 rolls around. Well, Tony's down on the bottom of the boat sweating like he just ran about 19 miles. I said, Hutch, I said, we need to go. I said, Tony's sweating like crazy. He's like, no, the fish are biting. We're not leaving. I said, Tony's sweating. He might have a stroke or something.
We need him badly.
He's like, no, he'll be fine, Ash. He's fine. We'll stay a couple hours. I said, a couple hours would be 120 degrees by noon. So, you know, then you know how Tony, when he smiles, he walks in, man, it's hot. I said, no kidding, you're in an aluminum boat, you're in Houston, Texas, and it's 150 degrees out here. So that's one of my great stories. Tony and I play golf together, and he is so sadly missed. I miss him. When I see Anthony, it just brings back so many memories because he sounds just like his dad.
What kind of golfer was Tony?
He wasn't bad.
Yeah.
He wasn't bad.
Good hand
great
eye.
Swing.
Good hand eye.
Yeah, great swing. Shocker.
But you know what? He would be, you know, Tony didn't cuss a lot. He would just be like, son of a gun. We'd play Mount Whitman all the time. He probably picked the hardest course to play,
right.
But he loved playing it.
Did he play lefty or righty? Because I know a lot of lefties still play righty. He did play lefty.
Okay. Yeah.
He's just pounding it down the left side of the field. You're like, bro.
That slice works really well in the 5.5 volt. Yeah. Not as great at Mount Woodson. You're gonna lose a bucket of balls out there.
Oh, my God,
yeah.
Man.
That course is so hard, but it's so beautiful. But, yeah, they love him coming out there. We'd go play there quite a bit. We'd go fishing at Steel Canyon after the games. Tony loved doing all that stuff, you know, and he was such a great man, and he's still – so many memories and stuff through San Diego, and I know the San Diego people here miss him like I do and his teammates, but such a special guy. The family's awesome, so, yeah, he's missed.
I love that story. Ash, tell everybody what you're up to tonight, raising money for the Padres Foundation, and I have a question for you. You will be guest bartending tonight, yes?
Well, that is correct. Believe it or not. So my girlfriend, Mercedes, works for Berkshire and Hathaway. She's a real estate agent.
That's the Warren Buffett.
So last month, she's like, hey, why don't we do a fundraiser? We'll talk to Dolce, and you be the celebrity bartender, and we can raise money for the Padre Foundation. I said, celebrity bartender? I've never – well, I have bartended a couple times, but, you know, that not like a Dolce.
Right.
So I was like, okay, let's do it. Let's get it in the thing. Get it on the books and talk to Dolce and see where it goes. And let's see if we can't get this done for, you know, all the proceeds go to the Padre Foundation. So here we are. So tonight I will be bartending at Dolce from 6 to 10. We have great, we have like 7 or 8 different silent auction items. So grab your friends, grab your family, and come out and enjoy an evening for a few hours. I told Mercedes, I said, you're putting me to work for 4 hours? I don't think I've worked 4 hours in my life ever.
I got a question for you. So if I walk in, if I walk into Dolce tonight and I saunter up to the bar, I know him, Andy Ashby, and I say, dealer's choice, what are you giving me?
Ooh. Glass of water.
I was going to test him. I mean, bartenders need to know drinks. Like, if someone asks for a greyhound, what do you make?
Yeah, what's a greyhound?
What's a greyhound?
That's a dog. Chase the rabbit around.
That's right. Vodka and grapefruit.
Yeah, that's correct, Woods. You're very good.
Do you understand? I had to go to like a trial course last week.
No, you did
learn
not.
Learn these drinks that they want to. And I said, I have no idea what we're doing. And Haley, down at the bar, there's two other bartenders who are going to be there. I said, listen, you guys, I can pour a beer, and that's about it.
So, Jack and Coke, yeah, pretty easy.
I'll have a Manhattan. Here's a Coors Light.
You know what? I can do a Manhattan. That was pretty easy.
So don't ask Andy Ashby for a Ramos Gin Fizz, apparently. He's not going to be able to make it for you.
Might turn into like a Stone IPA or something.
Yeah. Coors Light. Good Lord. This is going to be amazing,
I'll have a
man.
Singapore Sling. Andy, can you make that for me?
That's unreal.
What's it to Tom Collins?
Well, Tom Collins. I could throw some stuff in there and call it that if you want.
Tom Collins is gin,
yep.
Sour mix,
yep.
Sweet and sour.
Yeah, lemon juice or sour mix. A little sugar, a little carbonated water.
That's it. Yeah, a little splash. I was going to say a little splash of soda.
Yep, very good.
Beautiful.
Okay. I'm going to get ready. I'm going to go down there after this and start learning a little more drinks. I've never heard of the drinks you guys are throwing out.
You better get your ass to work tonight, Ash. That's one thing. Man.
You know what? We're excited. You know, Tom and Peter Seidler, they do so much for the community.
The best.
They have a good foundation. So I want to say thanks to Carly and Tom and them and Miss Peter. But for us to be able to do this, give something back to the Padres Foundation is special. I just hope we have a good turnout. I think there might be some 98 guys that show up and rag me for a little while.
Oh,
so
yeah.
We'll see.
Listen, just one tip about working behind the bar. Don't get high on your own supply back there. Just be judicious about how many, you know, you can't pour two drinks and then have one.
One for me, one for you.
Yeah,
one
the ratio needs
I
to.
I told him, I said, you guys might lose money on this.
With Ashby behind the bar, they may lose money. I've seen him. You are the best, my friend. Right. Thank you so much, Ash.
Round of White Russians for everybody, Andy. Thank you so much.
You got it. Well, listen, I'd love to see you guys. And listen, thank you all so much for putting me on.
Anytime.
And supporting this. And you know what, San Diego, grab your friends. And I love you all. You guys know that you're special in my heart. Come on down and get a drink at Dolce and let's see where it goes.
Thanks, Ash.
Andy Ashby, who threw an immaculate inning and had no idea that he did it or what it even was when he did it in 1991. Former Padres pitcher joining us.
I love that.
He's the best.
So much.
Tony Gwynn lying on in the bottom of an aluminum boat, sweating, dying. Like, hey man, he's one we need to make sure he's okay. Like, we need him for the long haul. Let's get him.
Fishing sounds pretty relaxing and harmless for an off day activity,
but not in
Houston in the summer for sure.
I love the trainer being like, nah, he's
Hutch,
fine.
Yeah.
He's gonna be fine. He's good. He's good. The aluminum boat murdered me. I mean, and you see how quick I go, tell your favorite Tony Gwynn. Oh, yeah, we Bam. Went. I mean, boom. He is ashes.
I can't believe I used to be terrified of that guy.
It's amazing to me. It's amazing to me because he's such a down home. I just love him. I love that guy so much. And it's been such a pleasure getting to know him over the last few years. And hanging with him at camp is the greatest. Worth every penny to
kangaroo
just hang
court,
out with him.
Judge.
He's the kangaroo court judge. I mean, he wears the robes.
He loves to walk in with a little vodka cranberry in the morning.
Yeah.
He goes in the trainer's room. He's like, look at all you.
It's called a Cape Cod,
M-Effers.
Cape Cod. No one calls it a Cape. They just call it a vodka cran. I didn't even know that one. Cape Cod is a vodka cran. Okay.
There you go.
Good to know. All right. That does it for our 4 hours, but don't forget, Roundtable's coming up next. Another bonus commercial-free hour of Padres Talk with the whole crew is just a few minutes away. We will be back for more Ben and Woods tomorrow morning at 6 a.m., and it is a Friar Friday. It's a Dodger Friar Friday. We got Mike Shildt, who will join us for the Manager's Report at 9 a.m. Looking forward to chatting with Mike Shildt coming off that successful 4-2 road trip. So lots of topics to discuss. Anything else we have planned for tomorrow? Paulie, that we know about.
No.
Jordan, Jordan Schusterman. Family Barbecue. We'll have that for you as well. And, yeah, I mean, should be a loose show
tomorrow. Woodsy's Orchestra story.
Oh, that's right. Yep. The opera in Edmonton. We'll get to it all, but the roundtable's coming up next. For Paulie and Woods, I'm Ben. Talk to you in just a moment here on 97.3 The Fan.